I would like us to read a scripture. Why that scripture? While Om France is still putting it on Psalm 24. When Peter was arrested, the church prayed. And the church prayed. And the church prayed. The angel of the Lord came when the church prayed and took Peter from the first gate, the second gate, and eventually the gates that led to the city. And whilst Peter was in the first gate and the second gate, his eyes were not opened. It is only by the breaking of the third gate that Peter's eyes were opened. So this is the scripture that the Lord has put on my heart, that we need to declare this scripture. Because the church is there, breaking ground to bring the name of the Lord to be glorified. So I'll quickly read it. It's a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. Who shall go up to the mountain of the Lord? Where am I? Who shall go up to the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? Who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, nor sown deceitfully? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This we declare upon the people, that they shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness of his salvation. Who are these people? This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, the God of Jacob. That word Selah, as you can see, it means pause and think about it. Now we are talking to the city where they have went. We are talking to the spiritual gates that are standing before them. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he then, this King of glory? Now we have a description of who is this King. He is the King of hosts. He is the King of glory. Thank you, friends. This is the prayer, the verse that I declare over Dr. Harry and the team, that they shall do well. They will stand in front of those gates and command them to be lifted up. Not only will they be lifted up, but they shall be broken, so that the King of glory may come in. It's not only gates, also our hearts are doors and gates. Amen. I have three messages in one. I'll deliver them as the Spirit leads. I want us to maybe usher from the point where Tanisha Lotta took and Franz took from, to say that there's an inscription on us that we have a padlock. We want to move, but we are unable to move. The Lord has already released us a long time ago, but we are bound by our own culture. We are bound by our own understanding and thinking. We are like that elephant that was tied with a wool when it was young. And when it grew older, it still thought that I cannot break this. We are the people who do not say, the Lord has redeemed me. And I pray to God that today as we open our hearts, that we will be able to see the Lord with a different light. That His light, His floodlight will come into us and give us revelation of who He is. And not only that, because I call this message Christ Identified. It is a good thing to identify something in your life. But yet you should be able to have an understanding of it. There are three entrances in a human being as pertaining to spiritual patterns. You have a covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. Anything that you want to do with the Father has to come from a point of covenant. Am I speaking to the right crowd? It has to come from a point of covenant. In the time of the Egyptian and the Israelites, they had to slaughter a lamb and put blood on the doorpost to show that they have a covenant of life. God sent Jesus out of heaven into the earth to show us that He has an eternal covenant with us by His shedding of the blood. So we cannot attain anything in the realm of the spirit unless there is a covenant. It goes hand in glove with an altar, which is called a sacrifice. An altar is nothing but a sacrifice. Where an altar is, it's either you sacrifice your time to build that altar. You sacrifice your prayers. You sacrifice your groanings. You sacrifice your fellowship, and most importantly, the relationship with Abba Father. In the dark world, they sacrifice people, animals, and all these other things that I don't know because I'm not in the dark world, on the sacrifice, on the altar. Elisha said to the false prophets of Baal, he said, come, put a sacrifice on the altar and pray to your God that He may bless your sacrifice. And nothing happened. And what happened when Elijah spoke to his father in heaven? The fire came down and the sacrifice was ready for consumption. That is a sacrifice. That happened in the era of the Old Testament. This is why in Romans 12, God says, through Apostle Paul, He says, give your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, and appointed unto God. The third one is ignorance. If you are ignorant, Satan will beat you blue and black. You know, somebody was trying to say to me, what are you going to preach about on Sunday? I said, Jesus. He said, and I said, Jesus. He said, no, but what else? What can you add? I said, what do you add to Jesus? There's nothing you can add. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. They check this with no end. He's the everlasting God. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It doesn't matter who the president is, Jesus is King. He is the Rose of Sharon. Have you ever smelled that scent of rain in the morning, that either it's coming or it just left, and you feel that freshness? Sometimes the Lord comes to you like rose petals in your mouth. You can taste Him. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 34:7, taste and see that the Lord is good. Ignorance. Ephesians 1:17. This is Paul praying for the saints. He says, for I always pray. For the Bible says men ought to always pray. So he says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, him being Christ. Not only should you attain wisdom, but you should also attain revelation. The first point of deliverance and the last point of deliverance is teaching and preaching the word. Okay. Isaiah 4. While you're still looking for Isaiah 4:6, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, wisdom is my sister, and knowledge or understanding is my brother. In all your getting, get wisdom. In all your getting, get wisdom. And then it goes on to say, and get understanding. Understanding is application. You can know this is a chair, but if you don't know how to use it, you'll be putting it on your head. You don't have understanding to apply to it. Knowing Jesus is one thing. 4:6. Knowing Jesus is one thing. Knowing what Christ has done for you and me is another thing. Applying that knowledge keeps the enemy in check. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Normally, many of us, we stop there. We know the scripture is very popular. If somebody is doing something that is less wise, we say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But what was the prophet Hosea talking about? Then he says, because you, the priestly nation, Peter said, we are a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood. You, the priestly nation, meaning you and me, have rejected knowledge and only took the wisdom of this earth. I will, this is the Lord speaking, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, that you shall not be able to offer a prayer to me, that you shall not be able to receive the blessing of Abraham, that you shall not be able to praise and worship me, for my ears will be closed to you because you have rejected knowledge. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. There will be a lot of revelation flying around that I would say one will take the one that belongs to them. So don't be too concerned about the things that I say that do not concern you. They might be for your neighbor. Amen. And some of them might not be for this time. They will surely be for the next time. So my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. It's not only our fault. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:18 that having their understanding darkened. That means the enemy darkened our understanding so that we should not be able to apply what is going on. Right now, let me give you an example. Right now we have children that are going to school. You want to know, or all of us, we want to take our children to the school that is called whatever school Christian primary or whatever school Christian high school. We don't want to take them to the other schools because we think Christ dwells there because the name tells us it's Christian. But as a body of Christ, we have a responsibility to bring Christ and Jesus to our house, our families, our schools, our work, our education, and all the environment. But the problem is this one thing. We have put much... what's that word I'm looking for? Emphasis, thank you. Thank you, Ilof. We have put one emphasis on the Holy Spirit alone. It is a good thing, but it is a dangerous thing. I'm losing my crowd. Give me 20 minutes, you'll be transformed. Amen. We are putting much more effort on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we are obsessed with power. We want to feel the tinklings. We want to feel His presence because He ushers the Father inside. It's well and good. But God is three in one, meaning He cannot be separated. He is three in one. He cannot be separated. We have the argument right now in our schools as well. They have taken away prayer from the assembly. If prayer is there, they've taken away Jesus Christ. Is it something new? It's not something new. It was when the disciples or the apostle at the time in the book of Acts, when they spoke of the name of Jesus Christ, they were cast out of the church or the synagogue. They said, you can preach, but don't mention Jesus. You can heal the sick, just don't mention Jesus. You can cast out demons, but don't mention Jesus. If you mention Jesus, we the religious people, we will excommunicate you. This is the worst part. If you say Jesus is the Son of God, then you are stoned. Jesus' name is the offense to many people. He is the chief cornerstone. Why did they bring in the Holy Spirit into this argument? Jesus said in John 14, He said, I am living. It is better that I should live, because one that is coming after me, the Holy Spirit, He will tell you, this is the joint part, He will tell you of all things that I have said. He will not speak of Himself. And then Jesus said, everything that I do because it comes from my Father. There is nothing that I can do unless it is coming from my Father. I hear somebody is asking, then how does the Father now connect? Because one is answering after another. It was the Father who could not bring light into the earth, and then He said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit brought light. We were worshiping here. We were calling Jesus many names. He's the chain breaker. He's a way maker. He's all of these nice names. Every knee shall bow. But I want to say this to you. As we are being transformed by the Lord, worship is informed by the truth. Let me say that again. Maybe this crowd can hear me. Worship is informed by the truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of, teach with me somebody. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. John 4:24, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and so worship is informed by truth. If there's no truth found in you, then you do not know how to worship the Father. If there's no truth found in you, you will not be able to respond to a situation that is bringing a lie unto you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they said to themselves, the truth that we know is that God is a living God. This is the truth that we know. That's all we need. And if we die, we die. But we died in truth. Okay. The Bible says in Daniel that he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the understanding. Esther said, when he realized that Haman wants to kill the Jews and they have not realized that she was a Jew, then she told Mordecai to say, let us fast and I shall approach the king. A little bit of history is that you cannot go to the king unless he calls you. Okay. Jesus Christ said, raise me up and I will call men unto me. So, you cannot go to the king unless the king calls you. So, she said, I'm going to go to the king and speak to the king. If I perish, I perish. That's the truth that she knew. And not one verse in the book of Esther where God is mentioned. That made you think a little bit. Isaiah said, unto us a son, a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. There's nowhere in the New Testament where the word Emmanuel is mentioned. How well do you know Jesus? How can you identify him? So worship is informed by truth. Every other song of worship that is written and sung, it is written and sung from scriptures. The foundation of a worship song is scripture. Scripture is truth. So meaning for us to be able to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rightfully and truthfully, we have to be theologians. Everyone is a theologian. For as long as you are a Christian, you are one studying God. Study well and show yourself approved. Because the time of testing, when it comes, you must be able to say what the truth says about the situation. Whose report are you going to believe? The Bible says. And the Bible also says that God did a self-Google. He stood in the circumference of the earth and he said, who can be like me? I am looking. The Bible goes on to tell us that there is no other God but me. So there is no other Jesus but Jesus Christ. Yes, there was Bar Jesus in the Bible. But that's not Jesus Christ. So we have a lot of arguments to say, Herod said Jesus is the Elijah or John the Baptist and all of this going up and down and other God's names and different other religious names, but Jesus Christ remains Jesus Christ. Very offensive. How is it offensive? Just say to somebody when they say pray for me and you say in the name of Jesus, you'll see their face will change. If you ask somebody to take Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which I'm going to ask you at the end of this service, they will say, no, Jesus can't do anything for me. And I tell them, if nothing will happen, then nothing will happen. So let's take Jesus and see if nothing will happen. I agree, if you left dishes at home and you take Jesus and we tell you are born anew, it doesn't mean those dishes will disappear. You still have to get home and wash them. So the book of Daniel says, those that know their God, they will do mighty exploits. So it is in the knowing, and in the knowing is the learning. The learning is understanding, and you are becoming something. Because once you receive Christ, you start to be transformed. You cannot remain the same. Your taste buds will be different. Things you were struggling with will start to be easy. Grace will be abound. But you still have to do the dishes. So those that know their God, you see, it's in the knowledge. Those that know their God, they will do mighty exploits. Our problem is that I've got Jesus, now I want the Holy Spirit, I must just do. You are like the sons of thunder. Jesus, should we call fire on these people? That's all they want to do. They just want to burn everything. Once we disagree, I start to say to you, you cannot judge. In the same manner that you have judged me, you will also be judged. Condemning people going around. Having Jesus Christ is not that. Identifying with Christ is not that. Christ is our example of how we should walk, how we should love, how should we cast out demons, how we should heal, how we should deliver. If we only preach Christ crucified, it is not a balanced diet. We don't know who you are worshipping. Worship is worth of the Lordship. What is God or what is Christ to you? How much value do you place on Him? As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. One person catches the fire of Jesus Christ. When they get home, everyone is supposed to look and say, what is it that you have that we do not have? We want that thing. And you say to them, let me introduce Christ to you. Amen. I want to do a demonstration as I close, as you will. There was a man called Peter, Simon Peter, in Matthew 16. And Simon Peter, Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? So that's the question I want to pose to you today as we identify Christ. Who do you say Christ is to you? The reason Jesus asked that question was because they were at a certain place where that place, like Paul was, there were different kinds of gods that were existing. Nowadays we look at people and we say, this one, he doesn't go to church, there's something that they are serving that is good to them, we want that very same thing. But Paul, when he was there, he read the inscribes, and then he was reading the, to the God of this, to the God of that, to the, and then he got to this one, that's in Acts 17, and he said, to the unknown God. And he said, this is the God that they do not know. So let me teach them about this God. So take that as a way of saying, today I'm going to learn about Christ. He will be identified. Or maybe he's already been identified. The problem is that we didn't have understanding. Because walking around aimlessly and saying, I am a child of God, I've been born again, I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that's it. Somebody will say, then that's it? Then what happens next? The answer to this question determines the truth that you know about God. Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that I am here in this region? Because as Doctrine and them are in the region that they are at, they are introducing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So, who do people say that I am? Then they say, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets, some say Muhammad, some say you are John the Baptist. And then he said, okay, I hear what the people are saying, but what about you who has walked with me for so long? Now, the question is to you and me. We have walked with Christ for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Who is he? Is he your 10-triple-1? When you have a problem? Do you only praise him when things are going good? Okay, let me deliver this one. There were Herods. If you study in the Bible, there were Herods. You know that Herod helped to crucify Jesus on the cross. So, there was Herod the Great, and then there was Herod the Antipas, and then there was Herod Philippi, Agrippa. Thank you. So, there were many other Herods, but the Bible is the one that highlights everything on them. So these three Herods, they had gods that they have made with their hands. Okay? And with those gods, they have made covenants and altars with them. So, for example, there's a god of Pan, P-A-N. And this word is short for panic. So, if you are in panic, you must know that the god of Pan has visited you. Then you had Alexander the Great, which came up with a god called Zeus, very closely related or very closely pronunciation to Jesus. Then we had a god who was called Caesar. He was a man, but he was worshipped as a god. So people in that region, when they wanted power or association, they worshipped people or gods. Don't get me wrong. I like it when people honor other people, but not worship. So Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Then they said all these other names. That is the argument that we have in this era now. It's like Jesus is just one of those many. It's like as we're sitting in a crowd like this, we cannot identify who is Jesus any longer. It is a cry unto the earth and the church as a whole, as the body of Christ, that Jesus must be raised up. He must be raised up everywhere. Everywhere. In the boardroom, everywhere. In schools, everywhere. While you are driving, while you are on holiday in Kruger National Park, everywhere. While you are planting seed for the next harvest, everywhere. So Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus stopped him and said, okay, it's fine. You've got it right. But you must realize something. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he didn't say, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. He spoke of his origin. He said, Bar Simon. Okay, maybe I'll have enough time to work on this one. The Bible, when it introduced Jesus, it told us of his origin. Ne? Those names that you skip when you are reading the Bible, in Chronicles and even in Luke and Matthew, those names are important. They talk about the origin of where the person comes from. So, in the Bible, that's why many people don't have surnames. They only have names. The reason they only have names is because you are as only as important as the name of your father. We are landing. You were as only as important as the name of your father. When you read book of Matthew, you will see that it will say, whoever, John and James, son of Zebedee, or son of David, son of Jesse. Right? You are as good as your name. Let me tell you who has a revelation in this church. Well, one that I know, Gerard. Gerard has got a son called Gerard Jr. It didn't matter what surname you had. You were only identified by your name. You check in the book of Kings, you'll see many kings, they are names that are repeating. There's a repetition of names. Jehoboam, there's a repetition. It's not only one. There's more than one. So when somebody speaks to you, they always, in that region, in that atmosphere, they always ask, whose son is this? That's why when Jesus would do something or do a miracle, they would say, isn't this the son of Joseph? In our culture, if you are naughty, they ask in the street, whose son is this? So Peter identified Joseph as the son of God. He spoke to his origin. He identified Christ to his origin. Almost there. Almost there. Give me just a little bit of patience. Almost there. Origin. So that's why those names came. Adam begot, Seth begot, Methuselah begot, Nebah begot, and so forth and so forth, and David and Jesse, and going down until it said Jesus. They were trying to trace a prophecy that said that Jesus will come from the lineage of King. And David, before him, there was no king. It is the Lord, through the prophet Samuel, who anointed and ordained David as a king. And things changed. You see, you and me, we have a problem of, it is enough that people can identify that is Elof, is Pete. It's not a problem. The moment they identify the destiny of this person, that's where they have a problem. Jesus Christ, it was not a problem to them to have Jesus Christ around. But the moment they realized the destiny is for him to be the king of the Jews, they had a problem. It was in the identity that gave them the problem. Joseph had brothers and a father who loved him and gave him a coat of many colors. But when the dream came that his destiny was supposed to be him being the king and them kneeling down to him, there was a problem. And I sense there are many Josephs in here. That the moment you start to identify your destiny through Christ, you have a problem with your neighbor. And your neighbor, I'm not saying next door. I'm saying any person that is not you, the one who you are sitting next to, even now, you have a problem with your neighbor. Because your destiny is threatening something that they want to do to you. My friends loved me when I was with them, partying, doing everything. But when destiny knocked on my door to say, this is your divine destiny, you will stand, you will preach, and you will teach, and you will witness Jesus Christ as the Lord, they started having a problem. Not that they were bad people. I've seen many marriages where people are together. The moment a destiny of one of those people is revealed, there's a problem in the house. It was enough that they just call you pastor. Right? Then your destiny said to them, they have to honor you. There was a problem. How can we honor this maniki? Who do people say that I am? Quickly. They say those ones. And then he said, the Son of God, you are the Son of God. And then Peter, you are the rock upon this church. Then Jesus said something as he said, then I have to go and be crucified. And Peter moved from his position of being disciple, and he moved in front of Jesus being the teacher. And he tried to rebuke Jesus. He tried to be higher than the teacher, the rabbi. I saw a meme that was put by Miss Pretorius. She said that, discern your Peter from your Judas. Peter had a bad day. Judas has a bad heart. Peter you restore. Judas you cast out of the church. What am I saying? When a rabbi is teaching, he walks like this. A disciple walks at least 2-3 steps behind. So that when a rabbi moves to the right and is teaching, the disciple follows to the right and to the left and so forth. Whatever the teacher does, the disciple does. Until he graduates, he can be at the same level as the teacher. That's why the scripture says there's no student who is higher than his teacher. At that time, Christ is identified, and you can be a witness of Christ. Then he leaves you. Then you disciple somebody else. That module is still must apply even today. We teach, this church vision is to equip the saints. You get equipped, then you become same level. And then you equip somebody else. When I was praying, I said, God, how can Dokhere leave me with his church? He said, it's not his church, it's my church. You had become a student, now you are a teacher. In the most humble way. Pulpit, we don't call the pulpit. The pulpit calls you. You don't call the pulpit. The pulpit calls you because you cannot stand there without assistance. You cannot stand there without identifying who you are with. I know it might be a little bit confusing. Peter moved from the position of a disciple and he moved in front of Jesus, overtaking even the teacher, saying that Jesus now is a disciple and he is a teacher. And he said, far be it from me that you should go there. And you know what Jesus did? He restored Peter. He said, Peter, get thee behind me, because that's where you belong. But you, Satan, you can just finish the words. So many times we thought Jesus was calling Satan Peter, that he just came up with the revelation and then the next moment he's stopping Jesus to go and Jesus is saying, you are Satan. No, he restored Peter to his position of being a disciple. That's why first the disciples were called disciples and then Jesus later appointed them to be apostles. Because it's in the apostolic authority that you are able to break ground and change, bring down and build. So the reason Jesus wanted to know who do people call him in this region was because there were already other gods. He just wanted to know, the one who is walking with me, how does he identify me? So today is the question, how do you identify Christ to your peers, to the people you work with? Not by condemnation, but how do you identify? How is Christ identified in you? Is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Is it no longer you that lives, but Christ lives in you? Or does Christ only live on Sunday and dies Monday to Saturday? And then you resurrect him again on Sunday. It's easy for us to share recipes. What do you eat before you run? And so forth. What sort of diet makes your skin glow? But are we sharing Christ? Are we identifying Christ? How you answer that question tells me the truth that is in you. Ezra said to the king, I like the scripture 8:11. It always reminds me to say that it's not that I don't have family, but I have Christ, and that's all that I need. I'm not negating fellowship and neighboring and family love. Don't get me confused. There's a place a family love cannot enter. The family love cannot take me to heaven to be with the Father. It is only Christ who can take me there. So, when now the enemy comes, isn't it we have identified? Now I'm teaching you and giving you weapons to say, this is now you apply your understanding. Now when the enemy comes and asks, not literally, but the enemy will ask through situations, through hardships, who are you? What is your answer? Are you John Jr.? Or are you connected to Son of the Living God, which is Christ? Remember, the enemy already knows that those that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are called the sons of God. And they shall cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness to say, Abba, Father. God moved from a position of being God to being my Father. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. He is my Father. And they said, blasphemy. So when we call ourselves that, if you want to do something to me, check who my Father is first. He's a father to the fatherless. Check who my Father is first before you want to touch me. That's why even John, they wanted to name John Zachariah. And he said, no, his name is John. It's not Zachariah. I think we get the picture. So right now, we are unlocking that chain. We are receiving the light of the Holy Spirit. That we are called by the name of the Lord. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. I was waiting for that amen. Let us close our eyes. Father, we just want to thank you that we can identify with Christ. That our lives will have impact in our region, in our homes, and everywhere we enter. Thank you for revealing destinies today. Thank you that we can speak the name of Jesus Christ and every knee will bow. Every knee in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth will bow. We might have lost our identity, but today we have found it. Our loyalty and legion, covenant, is with you. We want to renew our relationship with you, Lord. We might have missed the mark, but we want to thank you for the gift of forgiveness and your goodness upon your people. We bless your holy name. We magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty and a victorious and a saving name. Amen and amen. In that moment, I want to invite you, not for tea yet, but if you want to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just come to the front. Let us pray with you. If maybe you feel, I took the Lord and Savior 20 years ago. I know what I'm doing. But this message has convicted you. And you felt like you have moved and have not connected with God. Come to the front. Restore your relationship with the Father. If you felt that you have a relationship with the Father, but you haven't spoken to Him in a very long time, maybe 9 months, maybe less than that, and you want to restore that fellowship and relationship, come to the front. Let us pray with you and restore that order back to the kingdom of God.